Hello, everybody. This is Burt Middleton, the gout killer, and I think it's right about 6:30-ish. I can never tell. It seems like my phone and my computer both say two different things. So I want to thank everybody who is on the call tonight, and I want to thank everybody who might be listening to this replay. If that's what you're doing now, after I've made a blog post out of it. So it is getting to be summertime here in Denver, Colorado. It's kind of spring right now, kind of windy outside. I hope it's nice where you are. But tonight's topic is what to eat for gout is so confusing. I hear that from people all the time. So I decided that maybe I needed to just throw it out there as a topic for the call and see who gets on and see what questions or comments or what stories anyone might have to add about that. And, of course, I wanted to get on and say a little piece about it. There is a big reason why there is so much confusion for what to eat for gout, and what to eat for gout can be so confusing. And it all comes down to one word, and maybe a word that you're starting to hear more and more about, and that word is bioindividuality. More specifically, it can be stated as biochemicality. And it kind of goes along with a theme that I've been talking about for the last few weeks, and that is we can eat really, really good food. We can eat really, really bad food. And if we've been eating really, really bad food for a long time, it can affect the way that our digestion works. It can affect the way our whole gastrointestinal tract works. And it can basically just upset the way that whatever food that we eat, whether it's like the best organically grown fruits and vegetables and grass-fed beef and just wild-caught salmon. You could be spending a lot of really good money buying the best fats, buying the best proteins, buying the best carbohydrates. But if your digestion is not breaking those foods down into the proper nutrient components, and even to take it a couple steps further, if it's not breaking it down into the right sizes and into the right shapes, and we're talking microscopically here, then the body doesn't recognize them. It doesn't use them. And that can lead to all kinds of complications. So most of us, the interesting thing about it, especially kind of in this world of gout, is that most of us have kind of neglected and or abused our bodies over all the years. And there was once upon a time that we didn't get gout attacks. And then one day, lo and behold, our big toe swelled up and we freaked out and ran to the hospital or ran to the internet and found out we had gout. And then it passed and we thought, okay, that's never going to happen again. And then it happened again, and then we thought that time, okay, it's never going to happen again, and then it happened again, and now it's happened a bunch of times, and we're finally paying attention and trying to get it all figured out. Well, before you started getting gout attacks, your digestion was working better. And there's a very specific part of this, although there are many parts that contribute to it, but relatively speaking, we're always hearing about how you shouldn't eat red meat. Well, red meat is just kind of the scapegoat. If you eat good grass-fed red meat, and if you don't eat it, and if you don't eat too much of it, and eat too much of it too many days in a row, and make a habit out of it, then grass-fed beef is a really incredible nutrient-dense whole food. Even liver is, even kidneys and sweetbreads and all the organ meats. I mean, they're really good for you. You just can't eat a ton of them. You can't eat big volumes of them because our digestion is not breaking down the proteins correctly, and that's usually the problem. The proteins don't get broken down correctly, and the proteins are where all the purines are, and those purines metabolize into uric acid. And I've been trying to make a big deal out of helping people understand that our bodies produce uric acid for a very specific reason. It's a really powerful antioxidant. As long as it stays in solution in our bloodstream, it does all kinds of very antioxidant important tasks. And for one, it helps keep the cellular lining of our entire cardiovascular system in check and keep it working right and keep it working healthy. So just to kind of go through a little bit more about this, I mean, when we're not digesting well, I mean, we can get all kinds of allergies. Allergies are very specifically reactions to protein-based substances in the body. And don't forget that part of our bodies are made out of protein. These kind of poor digestive things can start to turn into leaky gut. Leaky gut is the start of all kinds of autoimmune problems. It can then, the leaky gut part of all of this just starts to cascade into all kinds of complications that mess up the way that our hormones work, that mess up the way that our neurotransmitters work. It causes any number of autoimmune responses. So there are all these different contributing factors to the different foods that you and I eat. And some of the foods that I eat give me no problem at all. And maybe those exact same foods give you a complete problem. So relatively speaking, what we're doing in trying to understand what foods, why all these different foods are so confusing for gout. Some people can eat asparagus, some people can't. Some people can eat mushrooms, some people can't. Some people can eat cauliflower, some people can't. Some people can eat red meat, some people can't. Some people can eat lobster, and some can't. You know, what I've found is that over all the years now, as I've improved my health overall, and that includes improving my digestion, then I can eat all of those foods. I just don't eat nearly as many of those foods as I may have once did. And I'm very careful to rotate them. You know, I don't eat the same, you know, I don't make a big roast beef and then eat on it for all week long because that's inviting disaster. I don't eat oysters one night and then lobster the next night and then shrimp the next night. Or, you know, the same with vegetables, although, typically speaking, unless you're really compromised, I just don't believe that the vegetables are going to pose that big of a problem. People freak out because of eating spinach. You know, but I mean, if you ate a spinach salad every day for lunch and you ate it for dinner and you ate a great big pile of it every time you did, then you might have a problem with spinach, you know, there being a high purine content and your body not being able to deal with it. But relatively speaking, again, keeping everything in moderate amounts and rotating it is kind of my way of looking at this that has worked for me, and it's worked for, you know, countless number of people that I've helped with that, with gout, with this whole gout thing. But I want to just say two of the things that you could really work on to improve your digestion, take them out of your diet for a while at least, maybe 2 to 3 weeks, is all grain-based foods, meaning breads, cereals, pastas, any kind of chips, anything made out of corn, grain, wheat, even quinoa and all kinds of grains. And if you took out dairy, and dairy is a tricky thing because I really do believe that raw milk, raw whole milk is a superfood and it's really good for you. Commercial dairy has been pasteurized and homogenized and they just ruined a perfectly good superfood, so you shouldn't drink it at all anyway. They've turned it into a poison. But if you take those two food groups out, for 2 to 3 weeks and then slowly add them back in. And you might even consider not adding grains back in, because grains are going to be the death of us all if we're not careful. But those are my two suggestions for trying to move in the direction of understanding why there's all this confusion about food. It really doesn't have as much to do with specific foods as it has to do with how well we're digesting and the amount and how often we eat some of those foods. So, as usual, I rambled on and on for longer than I thought I would, and I just want to open up the call and see who's out there and see who might have something to add, questions, comments, stories about why this is all so confusing when it comes to what to eat for gout. Who wants to jump in? I know there are a few people on the call. I know you're out there. And that is okay if you don't want to talk. I just kind of throw this out there, and I'm just trying to put more information out there so people can latch onto it and kind of get a handle on their gout, and I hope I can do whatever I can to help you. If no one wants to speak up, at least at this time, I always kind of try to talk about what I've got coming up. I had to do the call tonight on Tuesday night because I'm going to be leaving town. I'm going to be a part of the instructor team for the Nutritional Therapy Consultant course by the Nutritional Therapy Association, the same school that I learned my nutritional therapy information from. And there is a weekend of travel that we have to go to Las Vegas for. We're going to have a 3-day class, basically. So we're headed for that. We're headed for Las Vegas tomorrow to do all of that. And so I'm going to do the Google Hangout that I usually do on every other Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. And that one is what I have titled it. Let me pull this up again just to make sure I say this correctly. It is all about posture. And the way I've titled it is, Could Better Posture Help with Gout? I have some interesting information for you. So if you just go to thegoutkiller.com, and right now I'm changing things about my website. It's looking better and better, thanks to Ben Winter and Winter Web Method. And if you just go to the little search bar and type in TV, it will take you to a page called Gout Killer TV, and you can watch the live stream of the Google Hangout right there. But that's happening in about 15 minutes, and I will do another one. I think it's on April 22nd, and I forget what the title of that one's going to be, but you'll just have to tune in to find out. But we'll be back on track to be doing next week's call at 6:30 on Wednesday evening, and then on April 26th, which is a Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Natural Grocers location, Colorado and Evans here in Denver. I will be doing another live gout seminar, a gout talk about, and we're titling it Gout Fighters, Reducing Inflammation with Foods. And I've got some really good stuff for you. So if you're listening to this and you live here in Denver, I would love it if you could come and join me for that. Again, Sunday, April 26th at 1 p.m. at the Natural Grocers at the corner of Colorado and Evans. So that's kind of all I've got for you this evening. I hope that this whole little idea of bioindividuality, the fact that how your body is running at the moment biochemically has everything to do with why you may or may not get gout at any particular time. And that's why, you know, some people say eat this for gout and don't eat that, and other people have no problem with it. That's what it comes down to. How is your body working at a biochemical level? How well is your digestion working? What have you done to yourself over your lifetime? Those are the key questions that that really have to be addressed, and there's not a one-size-fits-all. So one more time, I'd be happy to, if there are any questions or anybody has any comments or if anybody wants to jump in, please feel free.
This is Sherry Burt. I don't have any questions, but I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, thank you, Sherry. I really appreciate you being on the call, and I really appreciate you making the time to find out more. Are you dealing with gout for yourself, or are you dealing with gout for somebody you know?
It's for myself.
I see. Okay. Are you having any trouble right at the moment, or are you sort of past having a gout attack stage at the moment?
At the moment, yes, I'm okay.
Good. I am very, very glad to hear that. Well, please do join me for more of the calls and maybe the Google Hangout if you do that kind of thing. And it would be great to see your name on one of my emails come up, and whatever I can do to help, please let me know what that might be.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close the call. And again, I want to thank everyone who's listening live or listening to the replay. And I certainly hope that all of my ranting and raving can make a difference in your world. So thank you and good night.